1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to begin in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. For this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. What does Paul mean by all means? I think that's a legitimate question that we can ask. He has said and given us some examples here about what he is doing for the sake of the gospel. One thing is, however, clear. He does not mean by any means. Some people misunderstand what Paul is doing here in this context and in this chapter. He means all means, but not by any means. We know this because in the very next paragraph, Paul talks about the possibility of disqualification. He says in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So right in this immediate context, he's talking about you can run a race, but you can be disqualified. So some means, while bringing us across the finish line of missionary service, actually disqualify us from any reward. So what guides Paul in his missionary service? What are his guidelines? If he's talking about all means, and then he's talking about, but you know what, when you run, we all run, but I'm careful how I run, then you can understand that he's careful how he uses these all means. His by all means is guided by something that takes, in this context, in this chapter, self-control. It is guided by his servanthood. Paul's methods of missionary service were directed by his becoming a servant to all. A by all means missionary ministry is characterized by the self-emptying attitude of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. This by all means, because when we read that, we could say, well, I can do anything I want to for the sake of the gospel. And many people do think that way. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. We would do a total disservice to this text if we were to come away with that kind of thinking. What Paul is talking about here is something that is central to ministry. Pastor Schlegel can tell you that. Anybody on the ministry team and service here can tell you that. Sunday school teacher can tell you that. Actually, if we think about it, we should be able to tell ourselves that. That this by all means is characterized by a self-emptying attitude, the self-emptying attitude that Christ displayed for all of us. So how does that play out? What does that look like in your service, in my service, in your lives, and in my lives? Paul's ministry, particularly as it's described here, provides us with at least three pictures of a missionary ministry which is characterized by the self-emptying attitude of Christ. And we're going to look not at this particular text. We could do that. We see this here. If we were to look at the very beginning of the text, then we would realize that Paul is giving up here some things that actually he could come and say, those are mine. I have that particular, trying to think of what the word would be, that's something that I could say that you owe me as an individual or as an apostle. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that. my ministry is going to be a different kind of ministry. In Acts chapter 13, we're going to look back in the book of Acts. Then we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But first of all, in Acts chapter 13, we find out one of these self-emptying attitudes of Christ with which Paul had to deal, with which we sometimes have to deal in missionary service or in any kind of a service for Christ. It doesn't have to be in a different country. It can be right here in the United States. And we see this in the first three verses of this chapter. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mania, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul, of course, being Paul here. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereof I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. A missionary ministry, or any kind of a ministry, which is characterized by the self-emptying attitude of Christ, many times must leave another ministry behind. Paul was here, he was ministering. This is a very effective church. He was in this ministry team. He was a teacher, an apostle. Here was a group of prophets. They were in a church. They were ministering. They were doing what was necessary, I'm sure, for many months, if not for years. The people in the church were appreciative, I would hope, I would think, having such as the caliber of Paul in that particular ministry. It'd be wonderful to sit at his feet. It'd be wonderful to hear from him. Or even any of these other men. Barnabas could probably preach just as well. And yet we find something here where the Holy Spirit is asking, you need to leave this particular ministry for something else. That's difficult sometimes. And it really can only be done if we put Christ first. It would be so easy, it would have been so easy for Paul to say, you know, I'm very comfortable in this ministry. I know the people. I know what's going on. I know what's expected of me. It's just a very comfortable place here. I like Antioch. It has a great cultural center. Lots of concerts, lots of other things. There's stores that I like to shop at. It's food that I like. All these things. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to leave. And Paul could have said, as a human being, he could have said, no, that's not for me. But he placed his likes behind. And he said, okay, I'll do that. It leaves a comfortable ministry behind. It also leaves a functioning ministry behind. This was a functioning ministry. I'm sure that Paul's leaving and Barnabas is leaving, don't you think that it made a big hole in that ministry? I would think so. Any church feels it. Any time that a pastor, the Lord takes a pastor and puts him someplace else, whether it be a lead pastor or whether it be a supporting pastor, anybody in another role where they have been effective and the Lord has used them and they are being what they ought to be, that is going to leave a hole. Paul even talks about this. When things aren't functioning as they should function, he describes it in his letter to the Corinthians as something being out of joint. And when it's functioning as it ought to function, then it's in joint. You know how it is with your own body. When everything's going right, you don't notice anything because there's nothing to notice. But when it's not going right, you feel it. Because there's something not right here. And so here's Paul, and he's in this ministry, and people are counting on him. I'm sure there were plenty of young people, plenty of old people. No, don't anybody, but just not Saul and Barnabas, please. Maybe Manian, yeah, you can take Manian, or one of these other guys, but not Paul and Barnabas. So Paul had to come to grips with the fact that the Lord is asking him to leave a functioning ministry for something else. That takes self-control. That takes a willingness to empty oneself of oneself. To have the idea, this isn't about me. This is about what Christ wants. This isn't about what's comfortable for me, what I can do, but it's about what Christ wants to do through me somewhere else. So we know that in Paul's life, at any rate, that a by all means missionary ministry being characterized by a self-emptying attitude or the self-emptying emptying attitude of Christ may not mean that for everybody, but it may mean that you leave a ministry behind when Christ asks you to do that. But what happens? What happens when you step out into the unknown? Well, we see that a little bit, not only here, but also we're going to turn back again to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll just read a little bit here in the 11th verse. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Now, Paul is talking here about a general principle. The general principle is that those in ministry live by those to whom they minister. Now, Paul, under guidance of the Holy Spirit, and with some people we have to make this differentiation, especially in Germany, because some people just don't get it. Everybody wants to be a Paul, but nobody wants to be a normal, run-of-the-mill shepherd. And so they think that everybody can be a tent maker like Paul, but of all the missionaries that we see here, of all the apostles that were actually talked about with Peter and some of these others, Cephas, in verse 5, it was only Paul that Christ asked to do things this way. And that was what normally is that the minister lives by those to whom they are ministered to. That is a biblical principle. But the Holy Spirit asked Paul to step out and to leave certain securities behind him. Now, speaking in Germany to Germans, even the fact that the people to whom you minister, those are the ones that minister to you in a monetary way. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. Am I using words that are familiar to you? I preach in German, so many times I don't preach in English. This is something new to me. I only do that once every few years when I come back to the United States for a very short period of time. So give me some positive feedback or some negative feedback so that I know I'm communicating to you. That's what's important. So here, he is leaving financial security behind. Now, as I said, in Germany, it's difficult to get German men to understand because we have a social network and a few other issues as well. That you can actually live. You can actually live. You can live by ministering the gospel of Christ without the state, without a big church behind you giving you a paycheck. You can actually do that. I've known men who have not gone into ministry because they were afraid because they wouldn't get paid. To them, state churches, yeah, you can do that. They've got the big bankroll, they got the big money, and not a problem. But small independent works, too unstable, and I'm not sure if I can make a go of it or if my family can make a go of it. And they don't go into ministry because of that fact. So, is that a self-emptying attitude? Now, I understand that the family is involved in some instances. But still, Is that a self-emptying attitude that we see exemplified by Christ? If the Lord is calling that individual to ministry and he does not go because of that reason, then that is not a self-emptying attitude. Okay, just to be totally clear. But I want us to think about something in regard to Paul. It wasn't easy for Paul. Now, sometimes we get this idea of the fact that, yeah, Paul went out and he did this tent making and he had all the money that he needed to live on just by tent making. Doesn't work that way. We don't know how much Paul actually worked, but we do know one thing, that he knew what it was to have a lot, and he knew what it was to have nothing. Philippians 4, let's turn there, please. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, and then verse 15. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Have you ever thought about those words? Hey, I'm glad your support check came through. Sometimes you have to be on the other end of the giving to be able to write words like that. God is always faithful, but he doesn't always give you an abundance. And he gives it at his perfect timing, but sometimes his perfect timing is after the bill is due. It really is. So that you realize it's not about you and it's not about just paying bills. This is what Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. He's talking to the Philippian church, wherein ye were also careful, but ye just lacked opportunity. There just was no opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you realize that that verse in its context is talking about a sporadically supported missionary? Sporadically, monetarily supported missionary? Where he says, I'm glad that it came through. I realize that you always didn't have opportunity, but you know, you Philippians, thanks so much. Not that I am in need. I've learned. I know what it's like to have nothing and to have to be on my knees and ask God and just go from day to day and to be hungry in the ministry. Security. You realize that in a self-emptying attitude, which is characteristic of Christ, that we leave our financial security totally in his hands? And like it says in the Old Testament, God's arm is not short. Now, do I look to you like I'm emaciated? Okay, I'm in pretty good health. But there are some times when I know what Paul's talking about here. God is always faithful, but our question is not, yeah, Lord, you need to be faithful today. No, my question is for me, am I being self-emptying? Is it about me or is it about this particular ministry? Is it about me and even the needs of my family? Now, I'm not espousing here some kind of a recklessness. But there are sometimes very difficult decisions that have to be made in ministry, and sometimes some people throw in the towel a little bit too quickly. And I just have to think sometimes maybe there needs to be a little bit more self-emptying involved. And I know sometimes that can be unfair to the family. Well, my question is it really unfair to the family? Doesn't really God know what he's doing? Now, there's all kinds of other things involved in this. We, as human beings, we make mistakes. And whatever mistakes are made in the ministry here, in my ministry, those are ours. We own them. That's our fault. But God never makes mistakes, you see. And sometimes he may ask us to do that because other people need to see that you can live a self-emptying life. I mean, look around us today, even in our country. How many people live just for themselves? Well, just about everybody. How many people actually live really for other people and are willing to sacrifice for other people? Not too many. Paul left financial security behind in his ministry. In verse 15, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." He only had one supporting church. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul coming to the United States? The Apostle Paul going around and getting support and only one church supporting him? I find that hard to believe. Okay? If we were to translate that in today's society, I think we could find all kinds of churches to support him. But in his time, in his way, under his ministry here, it was only that one church. And it was sporadic at best. So he left some financial security behind. We also leave personal security behind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we don't have time anymore to do that, but that's that section of Scripture that talks about all the dangers that Paul saw. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was in bonds many times. That means he was in jail. All these things that have to do with his personal security. A self-emptying attitude of Christ helps individuals to leave financial security behind, or at least in God's hands, and their personal security as well in God's hands. It is also a ministry that leaves culture behind. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. We'll go back there. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And then he says, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. And he talks about this with the Jews, and those that are under the law, and those that are without the law, that he might gain them. It leaves, in verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew to them that are under the law as under the law. Now there were some things that the Jews could eat and couldn't eat. And we see some of the problems that even Peter created in the church in Corinth because of he didn't understand this idea. And, you know, we leave certain foods behind. You can't get Cheetos in Germany. Can you imagine that? You can't get Cheetos in Germany. They just don't have them. You can't get Cheez-Its in Germany. They got a lot of other good stuff. I'm not suffering, okay? But for Paul, that was an issue. And for many people, I don't know, Brazil, same thing. Some things you enjoy. You get back to the United States and you just kind of chow down on Cheez-Its or whatever. You like them out of your childhood. You know, that's not a really big deal. But for some people, it could be. You get into a culture where, I've got a friend that's in Japan. I like sushi. My wife can't stand it. Can you imagine if the Lord called us to a place where everybody eats sushi? What kind of a sacrifice my wife would have to make to go there? Some of these things are a little bit, we smile at them, and they are kind of funny in a way, but they're not funny when you are directly confronted with them and you get a problem. Because the problem is, what am I going to do? Am I going to try to overcome this problem with my taste buds for the sake of the ministry, or am I just going to forget the whole thing? Paul, food. We had a young lady come with us for a few months as a mapper, as we say. My wife, we went out to the mountains, went up, took the gondola going up, and then we went out and had a little picnic, and she had prepared some fried chicken, drumsticks, a little picnic. And we were chowing down on, of course, after we prayed, chowing down on the chicken and drumsticks, and we noticed that she wasn't eating anything. And come to find out, her mother had cut all her meat off the bones. She had never eaten anything with the bone still on it. And she just couldn't get her head wrapped around the fact that there was a bone in this meat. She couldn't eat it. And she was here because she was serious about missions. You know, and she did. The Lord did help her overcome some things. She had some things to overcome. She's a missionary in China now. And they eat some pretty interesting things. Not fried chicken. So, but you see my point. The point is, if she had let that dominate her life, problems even with food, then it would have held her from the mission field or from ministry. But with Christ's help, she was able to overcome that. She was able to exert self-discipline. She was able to put herself out of the equation. She was able to empty herself of herself and take on that particular characteristic of Christ. And it leaves some thinking behind, too. We think differently. I'm just talking about there are principles that are adhered to everywhere you go in the world when it comes to ministry. But there are questions of how you get things done, how you do things. It's like, for example, something that's not on a spiritual level. It's how you build a house. In Germany, we don't build with wood. We build with bricks. We build with cement blocks. We do things differently. It's just a different way of looking at it. People think differently around the entire world. And we have to be very careful when we go into other cultures that we don't expect them to think like I do. But we have to learn, and sometimes it's very difficult to do, to look at things from a different perspective. I'm not talking about a question of right and wrong. I'm talking about just simply how we do certain things in our day-to-day lives. Now, one thing I really couldn't get my head around was usually Germans, they brush their teeth before they eat. First thing they do when they get up in the morning, bad breath. So what do? You brush your teeth. And then you go and you eat your breakfast. And then you go to work without having brushed your teeth. That's just the way they do things. Okay? Just a little bit culturally different. There's nothing wrong, nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt brush thy teeth after thou eatest. You know, there are some things that if it were a point of ministry, I would have to say, well, we have to brush our teeth before we eat. But if it's not a point of ministry, who cares? But that's just an example of how you can come at a problem in a different way. Now, if it were a ministry-related problem, and I came there and demanded that things would be done the way that I know them, then what kind of an example of the self-emptying attitude of Christ is that? It's not. And Paul coming here and being this all things to all people means he's not demanding anything. It means he is willing to give up so much because that is what Christ has done for us. He gave up all the glory in heaven. He came and lived a life. Think of all the toil that he went through. He didn't do this because it was fun. He did it because it was necessary. He did it for you and for me. And when we go out there, we have to think, well, we're not witnessing to people because it's fun. No, it can be fun. But because they're lost. And we're not here to make a living. We're here as Christ's representatives to live for other people, not for ourselves. And that's ministry in a nutshell, whether it's missionary ministry, whether it's ministry in a church, whether it's ministry where you work, where you live, or where you go to school. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Christ. There are others with which Paul did not have to contend. Some leave family behind. Paul didn't have to do that. There is in that difficult task also a self-emptying that is Christ-like in its attitude. There is much in a missionary ministry that necessitates a selfless life and curbs an by-any-means mentality in missions. Because a by-all-means missionary ministry is characterized by the self-emptying attitude of Christ. Do we have this attitude? Is this a mentality that we have? For you see, it is a necessary attitude regardless of the fact of location and vocation. It is an attitude that all of us must have. And it's an attitude that is, quite frankly, becoming more and more hard to find because sometimes we're just too consumed with ourselves and we don't see the fact that other people are lost. And they're going to hell without Christ and what he has done for them. And that doesn't bother us anymore. And it doesn't motivate us anymore to give up some time, to give up some money, to give up my life even to go. Whether it's to your neighbor, whether it's to a different country, whether it's to your own family. That's up to you, between you and God. But one thing is consistent in them all. And that is that we need, in order to be effective and to reach people by any means or by all means, this self-emptying attitude of Christ. Do we have it? If we don't, we need to ask for it. And we need to practice it by God's grace so that we can be the type of people that God wants us to be. Pastor?